It is good to be here tonight, as I said. I've been anticipating this service for a month now, and just understanding the lead up to it and all that has gone into it. It just has truly been a blessing, because the theme of this night, as I planned it about a month ago, actually about 6 weeks ago now, was breakthrough. And I met with Caitlin on Monday, and we were talking a little bit, and I said, I'm really hoping for a breakthrough, because as of right now, I got nothing. It had been 6 weeks, and I've been trying to plan and prep and write and understand what God had for you guys tonight. And it just wasn't there. And I started praying, Lord, give me a breakthrough, because I'm up against that wall. I have a time deadline. I have people that are expecting me to be prepared with a message. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was still finishing up and finalizing everything about 3 o'clock this afternoon. I guess that leaves room for the Spirit to move, right? Baptism by fire, trusting that God is going to take care of those blank spaces that I couldn't figure out. I got all the technical stuff done. That was easy, because I had to rely on myself for that. And I can do that sort of stuff. I've done that kind of stuff since high school, lighting and sound and all that. That's not a big deal. But this whole waiting on the Lord, agree with that? Those of you who've experienced, that's very hard. Anybody agree with that? Those of you who've experienced it, you know something's going to happen. You just don't know when, and you don't know how. You don't know where or why. You just don't know. And God reveals himself sometimes in a very dramatic fashion, sometimes in a very subtle way. But we all know, we're here on a Wednesday night, we're giving up our time, so I'm assuming that most of you would identify yourselves as a Christian. That'd be a safe assumption. For those of you who have just recently started your walk, or maybe you're not quite sure what this whole Christianity thing is, we would call you a young Christian, someone who's learning what it means to be a Christian. I can tell you, as a person who's been a Christian for about 20-some years, that you learn every day. That it never stops. But, sometimes you hear at the very beginning, or maybe before you become a Christian, or maybe just from observing the people who call themselves Christian, that once you declare that you're a Christian, everything is sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns, right? Nobody? Crickets, right? It's perfect. Once you become a Christian, your life just falls into this wonderful, orderly fashion, and it's waking up every morning, praising the Lord, and seeing all of his awesome goodness throughout the day, going to bed satisfied that you're in his peace, and waking up the next day and doing it all over again, right? There's never any turmoil. It's perfect. That's not always the case. It's a false narrative. It's one of those things where a lot of people who have called themselves Christians throughout the years have done a really good job of portraying that image, in public particularly. They want you to believe that everything in their life is perfect, because inside they are a blender of a mess and they're dying. Some of you here tonight are in the midst of that blender. Now, some of you might have been on a nice glide path for a while where everything is going well. Things seem to be in order. You don't wake up thinking, my life is chaos. What am I going to do? How am I going to, where's the money coming? I don't know. Some of you wake up and you're like, boy, what a beautiful day today. But it's raining. It's still beautiful. It's nice out. It's wonderful, right? And those people sometimes make you angry, because their life really is together. But a lot of that has to do with what I'm going to call tonight posturing, right? And we did just a little bit of that with this last song. We allowed ourselves to become vulnerable, to just sink in to the presence of God, to posture ourselves so that we could feel his presence, so that we could connect with his purpose tonight. That posturing is going to play a lot into our understanding of God's will. In reality, though, it isn't all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns. It's not always perfect. For those of you who have been a Christian for any length of time, you understand this. Even if you've only been a Christian for 2 weeks, you probably understand this, right? God doesn't even promise us tomorrow. God doesn't even promise us 10 minutes from now. A giant meteor could come hurtling towards the earth and hit this sanctuary as we speak, and there's nothing we could do to stop it. God doesn't promise us that he's going to make it easy. God doesn't promise us that he's going to make it long. Even the Bible tells us if we're lucky, we'll get 70, maybe 80 years, right? My grandfather is in the middle of that right now. He's in his mid-80s, and he probably doesn't have very much time left on this earth. Maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks. We don't know. That's not for us to decide. But he's had a good long life, and I am very excited because that's one of those things in God's timing. I've been praying for my grandfather for 20-some years since I've been a Christian, that he would accept Christ. And a little bit over probably 2 months ago, maybe, he made that decision. And then he was baptized. So I know things that I do know. I probably count on one hand, right? But I know that his eternity is secure. Because even though it took him 80-plus years, he finally understood where to put his hope. So it's one of those things where God doesn't promise us anything other than his eternity if we make that decision, if we make that commitment to him. And there's all sorts of theologies out there about once saved, always saved, or, well, you can be saved and then you can lose your salvation. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight. That's for you to talk about with God and for you to research and decide. I am no theologian by any standards. I'm just a normal man who stumbles just like you do. I will share some scripture with you, though, that talks on this. And it comes from James. James is a good book if you haven't spent much time in James. Not that there's a bad book in the Bible. But James is one of those that has a tendency to hit you right where you are sometimes. And in James 4:13, it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money," all those things that we do, right? "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are but a mist, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or we will do that." It's about posturing. It's about putting ourselves in perspective with God and where he has us. You may be somewhere that he has you that you really don't want to be right now. Anybody ever had a job that they did not like? Maybe God had you there for a purpose. Maybe you were the only Christian in that entire establishment, and it was his will that you were there to be his light in a dark place. You ever found yourself in the midst of family turmoil, thinking to yourself, how in the world did we get to where we are now? And it's in those times that we have to rely on God, because we can't rely on our family. They're the cause of our trouble. Maybe we're the cause of our trouble. Sometimes we have to look inward. So understanding that God doesn't promise us tomorrow, God doesn't promise it's going to be easy, God doesn't promise the sunshine, unicorns, and rainbows all the time. Now, sometimes he does give us those things, and those are such a blessing. All right, we've seen transformations in people. My grandfather, for example. We've seen miraculous healings within the walls of this very church. People cured from diseases. Things that were supposed to be inoperable, things that were supposed to be potentially life-ending, have been pushed to the wayside because we had that faith that God was in control and that he would heal. So sometimes life is great and sometimes it isn't. And some of you may be in the midst of that turmoil tonight. I made a poster for this service about four weeks ago. And I was having a hard time with design and whatnot, and I wanted to put some things on it that maybe people deal with. And I thought about it, and I put, you know, anger, and I put finances, and I put relationships, and I put some other things on there. Because those are the things that can tend to get in the way of our relationship with Christ. Some people even go to the extent that they make those things an idol and they sit it right up on a pedestal and they begin to worship those things. Money, for example. Money, as the saying goes, the root of all evil, right? But money can do so many wonderful things if used for the kingdom. All right, now there's, once again, different theologies out there. The health, wealth gospel. If you give lots of money, God's going to give you lots of money, right? I'm not here to preach that tonight. I'm here simply to tell you that we oftentimes make gods out of these things. Sometimes it's sports. No offense to anyone who's not here tonight. I know a lot of our youth are at band camp right now, right? I know my son, one of them, isn't here because he's doing a football activity tonight. Finding those things and that balance in our lives is critical. So when we deal with these things, we have to understand our place in the grand scheme of things with God and where he is and where we are and maybe what he's doing for us or doing through us or doing with us, because he walks with us as well. In Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, let us also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces, anybody know? Perseverance. Perseverance produces character, character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out onto our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Just as we sang tonight, Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your, it's not we want your presence, it's not we'd like it if you'd show up every now and again. We need your presence. That inherent need that lives in us for God to live in us. And those of you who have that indwelling of the Spirit understand, because when we stray from God, we know and we can tell. And we understand that we're not in the right place, and we're not making ourselves available to God for him to do what he wants to do with us. And that's easy to say, right? God, use me. I should revel in my sufferings. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Easy to say, hard to do, right? As a spirit strong, flesh is weak kind of thing, we oftentimes are able to identify the problem, but we can't do anything about it. Or we think we can't do anything about it. We think we found ourselves in the deepest, darkest pit in creation, and there's no ladder. And there's no rope, and there's not even anybody at the top peering down, yelling at us that we can send them to get Lassie, right? It just isn't like that. We're all alone. We're depressed. We're anxious. We're struggling because we don't know how we're going to pay our bills, because our family seems to hate us, our structure's falling apart in the household. We don't know what's going on. We don't understand it, but we haven't even asked God where he is. It could be finances, it could be fear. Anybody ever experience fear? Like honest to goodness fear? Like, I'm terrified of the outcome of this situation? Absolutely. One of the first times I experienced fear, I got a phone call out of the blue, and I was at work, and nobody calls me at work because we're not supposed to get phone calls at work. I worked at a factory in Mount Vernon at the time. My boss comes out and said, hey, you got a phone call, which was really weird. And I answered the phone, and it was my my stepsister-in-law. I guess that would be right. Stepsister-in-law, frantically screaming into the other end of the phone, they're bringing the boat in. He's in the hospital. We don't know what's going on. And I'm like, what are you blabbering on about? I have no clue what you were talking about. What boat? Who? I don't understand. Well, on a whim, on a last minute, my dad got invited to go on to a cruise vacation for free. There were two extra tickets that friends that he had. Didn't tell anybody he was going, really, and got on a plane, flew to Florida, got on a cruise ship, and had a massive heart attack on the cruise ship. They had to turn the boat around to bring it back in. He ultimately ended up passing away from that. But that phone call, and once I got who it was, where it was, what it was about, I experienced that fear. I had no idea what was going on. For those of you who frequent Florida, anybody like to go to Florida on vacation? I made the drive from Mount Vernon, Ohio to Cape Canaveral, Florida in under 12 hours. I may have broken a law or two. I asked for forgiveness afterwards. It's fine. So, but when we got down there, Dad was on life support, and we had to make the decision to let him go. I'd never really lost anybody that close to me before. So fear consumed me for quite a while after that. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why it happened. I questioned why God would let that happen, and I began to struggle. And I experienced that fear. And I began to take that relationship that I had with Christ, and I began to build that wall between he and I. because I began to doubt his plan for me. And I began to misunderstand maybe what his love was. And I maybe began to think that he really didn't love me. And I began to think that, you know, all of these things that were happening to me, maybe I caused them. Maybe I was being punished. Maybe God was punishing me because I did something wrong. And this was his way of showing me how wrong I was. And I kept building this wall up and putting it between he and I. And there came a time in my relationship with Christ after that that I became a little bit distant from him. And I was in one of those valleys, that deep pit, that place of despair that we're just talking about. And I didn't understand. And fear consumed me. And I built that wall for a while. Now, for some of you, maybe it's fear that you're building your wall with. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's misunderstanding. Maybe it's your family situation. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's some other thing that's separating you from Christ. I don't know what it is. Nobody in here probably knows what it is but you. Maybe your family doesn't even know what it is. I can tell you God knows what it is. He knew with me. And he continued to stretch me. And he continued to move me even more into a leadership position here during that time. It was during that time that I became a staff member here at the church as the worship director. And he began to draw me closer as I tried to kind of push him away. And it was through wonderful people in the church, Patty, the other folks that are on the praise team with me, Pastor Keith at the time, that I was able to work through those things. Sermons that were given on Sunday that I swear to you mattered to nobody else in that congregation but me sitting right there. Actually, it was right over there because that's where I always sit, right? But he was speaking to me. Every light was in the building was off. There was a spotlight on me, and there was a target on my chest. And he was giving that sermon to me. And God uses people like that in our lives. We just have to look for those small moments. Sometimes, like I said, it's a huge revelation. I have seen people converted from being like what we would call a heathen here in the real world, to being an upstanding, God-fearing, seeking God with all they have Christian in a matter of a light switch. It's amazing when you see that. That doesn't happen to everybody. Not everybody has that wonderful conversion story. Not everybody has that wonderful experience. So could it be that maybe we don't receive, and I'm not trying to sound harsh, but could it be that maybe we don't receive because we don't believe? We really, truly don't believe. God can't use me. I'm way too far gone. I've done way too many horrible things in this world. I've been horrible to people. I've been horrible to God. I've even cursed his name. I've done all these things. There is no possible way that he would want me back. There's no way. We truly don't believe. We don't understand. But then he begins to put people in our lives. And Pastor Keith comes along, and he gives that sermon that was pointed at me. And my wall begins to crumble. Just a little bit at first. Just a little bit at first. Because I'm still doubting. I'm still misunderstanding what it is that God wants from me. And then he begins to use me. And I begin to change my mind a little bit. And my wall begins to crumble just a little bit more. And sometimes it's a long process. We're in for a long process with this building out here. Everybody's like, yes, we've broken ground. Now what? Oh, look, they poured some gravel. That's fantastic. Oh, they dug a hole. Wonderful. Sometimes it doesn't happen at the speed we wish it would happen, right? But sometimes we're there, and maybe it's tonight the message was delivered for you. And maybe it was some conference you went to or some retreat weekend where you went and just sat and focused on the Lord and who he was. And you're sitting there and all of a sudden there comes this revelation and the wall begins to crumble. Like Jericho, right? It wasn't like they marched around and a brick fell off. And they marched around again, and maybe a hinge creaked a little bit. They marched around, they blew the trumpet, and the wall fell down. Now, if you look, there's still some foundational pieces there. And I would argue that as much as we want, and as much as we open ourselves to the move of the Spirit, that because of our sin nature, because of who we are as humans, we're always going to have a couple bricks. There's always going to be something that's going to cause us to stumble. There's always going to be something that's going to trip us up. And maybe we get back from that conference, and a couple weeks later, that fire begins to die down, and we're like, oh man, what happened to my wall? And we come over, and we start to build that wall again, and the whole process begins anew. But I can testify from my own experiences that life is so much better when the wall is down. God uses you so much more when the wall is down. As the song we just sang stated at the end, a miracle can happen now because the Spirit of the Lord is here. When we distance ourselves from the Spirit of God, when we distance ourselves by building a wall, by putting other things up on pedestals, by making idols of finances, by making idols of even our family, of our sports, of that car that our good friend just bought that we're lusting after now because we're driving a 1984 Chevette, right? All of those things can build that wall between us and Christ. So tonight, I want you to think, and I'm going to give you just a minute here to do this. I'm going to ask our sound booth to illuminate our sign here. Should be the next one down.
It's not working.
Oh, okay, it's not working. That's fine. It's one of those deals. Devil gets in the details, right? So, tonight, I'm going to give you just a minute as the worship team comes on up. We're going to sit, and I'm going to have you go to blackout for just a second. Bring the house lights down if we can. I want you to sit and I want you to think for just a second as we prepare to close tonight. I've got a couple songs that we're going to close with. And during these songs, understand that the altar is always open. And if you need to come on up here, I'm sure Pastor, someone else here would be glad to come on up and pray with you. But tonight, I just want you to take a minute and I want you to think. And I want you to be honest with yourself about those things in your life that are building that wall. Those things that are causing us to separate ourselves from the love of Christ. And I want you to identify those, and I want you to lay them at the foot of the cross tonight. I want you to give them over to Him. Because as hard as we try and as many times as we bang our head against the wall, there's nothing on this earth that we can do outside of the power of Christ, outside of the one who gave His all, that we could truly know Him and love Him.